Wednesday, January 11th, 1984. Chapel at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Speaker today, Mr. Chris Loftus, a Master of Divinity student.
After a prelude like that, I guess I have to read the Bible. That was pretty. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. How about standing up? Let's sing a good hymn. Count Your Blessings, number 231. Let's sing them all, and if you don't mean it, don't sing it. Join with me now as we pray, please. Oh God, you who makes all of this possible for us, You who have given us all that makes our life good, we gather here to give you thanks. But we also gather here to confess our shortcomings and confess to you that we have often failed to give you thanks and to live in thankfulness. We have taken much for granted very quietly, and then very loudly we have grumbled about that which we lack. We have squandered your bounty with little thought for those who will come after us. We are much more worried about the few who have more than us than the many who have less. Forgive us, God, in this hour of worship. Accept our thanksgiving and teach us to make gratitude and sharing a way of our life. Through the grace of your gracious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm supposed to introduce the speaker. I like him. No, I wish I knew more about him. It's me. But I'm going to sing some songs for you, too. And my troubles is talking about world hunger. I've gotten a lot of reactions. A lot of times reactions are good. And a lot of times the reactions are of one of complacency. People kind of sit back and say, well, let crop take care of it, or let somebody else take care of it. Let the missionaries take care of it. Let the government take care of it. Let God take care of it. Well, God will take care of it, but he does so through you and I. Big old buzzard sitting on a fence watching them chickens play. He says to his best friend, the old chicken hawk. The chicken hawk jump up and say, we ought to invite us a chicken home for supper today. Well, now the buzzard looks at him with a baleful eye. Takes a few seconds for he give a reply. He turns his neck nearly all the way around, and he points to the sky and he says with a frown, the Lord will provide. You know the Lord will provide. Just be patient, brother, and the Lord will provide. Well, the chicken hawk says, but I'm hungry. My stomach's starting to rumble like a train. He spies a fat chicken in the barnyard. The chicken hawk jump up and say, I hear the Lord helps them. It helps themselves, my friend. You know the Lord will provide. You know the Lord will provide. Well, now just be patient, brother, and the Lord will provide. Well, now the chicken hawk starts to chase the chicken. The chicken starts walking and run. The farmer come out of the farmhouse. The farmer's got a big shotgun. The farmer, he blows that chicken hawk to kingdom come. Well, now the chicken looks at him with a thankful eye. Takes a few seconds before he give a reply. He turns his neck nearly all the way around. Then he looks at the chicken hawk dead on the ground. I knew the Lord would provide. I knew the Lord would provide. Ah, that's all, brother, buzzard said, the Lord would provide. Now the buzzard looks at him with a baleful eye. Takes a few seconds before he give a reply. Turn his neck nearly all the way around. Then he grabs his knife and fork and he heads to the ground. I knew the Lord would provide. I knew the Lord would provide. Oh, just be patient, brother, and the Lord will provide. I need the Lord to provide. I need the Lord to provide. Well, now, just be patient, brother, and the Lord will provide. I guess I agree with all that song except for the part, just be patient. The Lord will provide. But he does so through our actions, through our kindness and through our compassion. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that can outside as far. Then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never will run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I walk no more. Fill me up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving for pleasures earthly things can afford. But all can have the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill me up and make me whole. So if my friend, if these things the world gave you, leave a hunger that will not pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to God and humbly pray. Sing along now. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Today I'm going to be talking about folks in empty cups. Empty cups in a lot of ways. Empty cups spiritually, as that song sings about. But empty cups physically as well. They're hungry. And I'm going to take a different approach than I usually do. Usually I tell a lot of jokes and try to entertain and all, because usually I'm speaking to groups that are, I have to use a hook. I have to get them to bite. If you go and you talk to them about hunger, it's a bad thing and we've got to do something about it. A lot of times they just kind of close the door, because hunger is a bad thing. It's an immense problem. It's something that no one seems to have an easy answer for. No one even seems to have a complex answer to it. So I usually go to these places and I try to entertain and I try to sneak in that message too. But I don't need to do that with you. I don't need to sneak with you. I don't need to entertain you. Because we're the ones, the people in this room, we're the leaders. We're the ones who are supposed to fill the cups. So I'd like to talk first about thieves. When I was in college, we had a problem in our dorm of a cat burglar. Especially in my hall, because it was all guys and we were all very friendly and everybody was up all night and everybody could go in anybody else's room. So you really didn't think anything about it when someone else was in your room. You figured, well, it was your roommate's friend or something like that. You're very trusting. I found that to be a mistake. One night, as I was asleep, I heard a sound, and I looked up, and I saw someone standing near my desk in the darkness. And I just rolled over and went right back to sleep, because I assumed it was when my roommate had been out studying or partying or something, and just come in, and that was one of his friends, or they were going to go out somewhere or something. You know, it was no surprise. But it was the burglar. That night, or right before I'd gone to bed, I had done all my bills. I'd made all my checks and got all my bills and put them in one stack. And And I usually had some cash laying around, so I'd put all the cash and counted it in another stack and had all my change, and I'd gone through the laundry room and found all the pennies and stuff like that. And I had it all in another stack, and you know, the burglar took the money and left my bills behind. It's funny how burglars do that. He didn't take my troubles. He took my wealth. He didn't take the things I had to pay for. He took that which what I was going to pay with. It was too late when I realized that in the morning. It was too late to do anything about it. So I called the Duke security, and the guy, it took him 3 hours to get out there, and the little old man came out and asked me all the questions. I think I was just filed away just like that. It was too late to get that money back. Too late to get what he had stolen. Of course, I'd locked my door now. That was the big thing they said. And of course, I'd watch you came in and out of my room, etc., etc. But it was too late. Thieves are like that. They take what is good and leave what is bad behind. And we're like that too. No, we're not like a burglar who very calculatingly goes in and knows the risk and knows where to go and finds it and puts it in his pocket and runs out. We don't coldly risk everything. We don't coldly risk being caught. But sometimes, matter of fact, many times, we take without even knowing. We take a great deal. We pride ourselves that we don't take. We pride ourselves on the fact that we work. We work hard for our money. We earn our living. Burglars pride themselves that they work hard too. Every 7 seconds in this world, somewhere, someone dies of hunger. Every 7 seconds. I thought about having someone up here hitting a drum every 7 seconds and not telling you what it was for until the very end. I saw that done at a conference once, very effective means. That's all I can remember about what was said, but it really hit home. Every 7 seconds, whether it's in Bolivia or Somalia or Biafra or Ethiopia or in North Carolina or in Ed Meese's backyard or wherever, people are hungry. And that is true. That is really tragedy, because there's enough to go around. It's true tragedy. If you've done any literature, you know that if there was not enough food and people died, that's not really tragedy. If we think it's tragic, but in the most perfect sense, it wouldn't be tragedy, because it's not needless. But there is enough food. We do grow enough. There isn't too many people. They're all brothers and they're all sisters. Whether they look like us or talk like us or think like us, march like us, or whether their drums look like ours, we're all brothers and we're all sisters. And God loves us all, everyone, with every 7 seconds. Many times you go to a hunger conference and the approach is to point the finger back at you. I've had the finger pointed at me too many times, I guess. Saying, your fault, your fault. They show you slides of children with bloated bellies, empty rice bowls, and they say, this is your fault. And you feel so guilty, you write a check. I've written a lot of checks out of guilt. But I want us to think about the words of that hymn we sang. Count your blessings. I doubt we'd have enough time. I don't have enough time here to count my own or yours, not in the time allotted for chapel services. Count your blessings for this day. It's cold outside, but you have coats. It's a long way from my trailer to a seminary, but I have a car. I ate a good breakfast this morning. I know that people care for me, and I show that care. And people know I care for them, and I show that care. I have relationships, some good and some bad. But I have a chance to enjoy them. I have this seminary. Some of the professors might not agree with this after reading some of my papers, but I really learned some things here. I've gotten a lot out of it. I enjoy it. I like to smile. And I have that chance. I have that opportunity. I don't have to worry about survival. I worry about success. That is a luxury that most of the world cannot afford. We steal. We're thieves. We steal the labor from the farm worker. We steal the land from the peasant. We steal the resources from the earth. Rightfully so, you're probably saying, wait a minute, Chris, I don't. I'm a good human being. I don't do that. I have never mistreated a farm worker. I have never been a land baron and stolen the land from the hungry peasants. And just like Dennis Testament always tells me, I always recycle those cans. But we're part of a larger whole. You go to the A&P or to the Big Star or to Lyons, well, that's where I get my groceries too. And you buy your food without thinking about what went into getting it there. Then you're part of the stealing. Because to get that food there, and I'm not saying the owners of A&P and Lyons and all this do this purposefully. There's many chains on this, many links on this chain. One of those links is a crew chief in a migrant camp somewhere who beats his migrants and enslaves them. Or one of those links is a crooked middleman who, from the very just farmer who does have migrants and who doesn't beat his migrants, who treats them well, provides them with nice housing, who is a very fair and just man, and there are those too. We have the good and we have the bad. But you have the middleman who robs that farmer, who robs that grower, who doesn't give the right price. But yet, because we have so many problems of our own, because we count our troubles, not our blessings. That night when I was counting before I got my bills and my money, or the burglar came, I had a lot more fun counting my money than I did counting my bills. We're like that. Because we spend so much time having to count our bills and getting mad that we don't have enough chance to count our money or whatever, we buy things without question. We buy into systems. We support governments that aren't good, that are unjust, that rob the land from the peasants. And we have the audacity to mask it with false democracy. We say we're protecting democracy. We know those things happen. We're smart people here. We're graduate students. We all read Time and Newsweek, and we know what's going on, but yet we only read what we need to read or what we want to read. The rest is, we say, oh, it's just too confusing. That stuff in Central America, or, oh, the problems of world hunger, just like world hunger. It's just so confusing. I just got other things that I can really make a difference in, so I'm just going to let those to the side, push those to the side. Let someone else deal with it. The Lord will provide. God weeps, and the devil laughs. And we push injustice aside. So no, we are not like the burglar. We do not calculate to hurt, to steal, to take that which doesn't belong to us, to take too much, take so much that others have to be hungry. We do not calculate to do that. We don't do that with malice. But as a whole, as a culture, we do that. There's some things that can be done to change that, though. And we're the ones, you and I, sisters and brothers, we're the ones who have been called to do so. Others can do it under the name of justice, and that's noble, and that's good. We must do it in the name of Christ, and that's noble, and that's good, but we still must do it. The thief does not care about that who he steals from, or he who he steals from. The thief does not fight the injustice which he himself perpetrates. If you do not care about the hungry, if you're willing to put them aside, if you care but are still willing to be inactive, if you do not care about injustice, or if you care and are still willing to push it aside and let someone else take care of it, you're just like the thief. Christ was a thief in some ways. Not like the thief, the TV preachers who, like the song says, who have a nice suit with the vest and tell you to send your money to God, but then they give you their address. Christ wasn't like that. Christ stole the checks. Christ stole the bills. He didn't steal the cash. Christ comes in and takes away our sorrow. Christ comes in and steals from us our burdens. Christ steals the cross, which we are supposed to carry. Christ calls us to steal in a very real sense. Christ calls us to go out into our communities and to live a lifestyle that stops stealing the wealth and the bounty of God from others and does steal the injustice of man. We're smart enough to know the difference. We're smart enough to know what justice is and what injustice is. And we're called to take away that injustice, not to simply let it go and say, someone else will do it. Lifestyle. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, how do you do it then, Chris? What do you do? Where do I go? How do I do this? We waste so much. For one thing, if you would just stop wasting, like Dennis' testament is always saying, stop wasting. Remember when you were a little boy or a little girl and your mother would say, eat your spinach because there's people starving in Africa. And I'd always say, well, here, mail it to them, Mom. I'll pay the postage. Think about the food you waste. Think of the idea that people are starving. That's one very real way to help the hungry. That's one very real way to stop injustice. People are starving. You leave food on your plate, that's injustice. It's not as big of an injustice as, you know, the land barons and all that, but it's still injustice. Some of you asked me to sing this song today. I've sung it a couple times at the seminary for various things. It's about a man who has many things stolen from him. He has God's will stolen from him, and he has his own contentment in doing what God wants him to be stolen from him, because he listens to his friends who tell him, you've got to be a star. If you can't make a big dent, don't make any dent at all. Mr. Tanner was a cleaner from a town in the Midwest, and of all the cleaning shops around, he'd made his the best. But he also was a baritone who sang while cleaning clothes. He practiced scales while pressing tails and sang in local shows. His friends and neighbors praised the voice that poured out from his throat. They said that he should use his gift instead of cleaning coats. This is what Mr. Tanner sang every Christmas in his little Baptist church in Dayton, Ohio. we forget what ministries we have. Sometimes we forget when we sing that song we've sung 100 times. It really touches someone. It really does fill someone's cup. Sometimes we forget that when we are clean platers and we don't waste 10 cans and we don't waste the things that we waste, we really are being a minister. Sometimes we forget that when we do make a stand against injustice, when we do write letters to a congressman and say, I don't agree with that, I think it's going to make people hungry, we forget that we really are doing what Christ has called us. We really are carrying the crosses of those around us. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall into a trap of having to be that star. Mr. Tanner's falling into that trap. His friends kept working on him to try music out full time. A great debut and rave reviews, a big career to climb. Finally they got to him. He would take the fling. A concert agent in New York agreed to have him sing. There were plane tickets, phone calls, money spent to rent the halls. It took most of his savings, but he gladly used them all. Was his life, it was not his livelihood. It made him feel so happy and it made him feel so good. He sang from his heart and he sang from his soul. He did not know how well he sang, it just made him whole. Music was his life, it was not his livelihood. It made him feel so happy, it made him feel so good. He sang from his heart, he sang from his soul. He did not know how well he sang. It only made him whole. What a beautiful ministry. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful blessing. Think of how he could steal people's sorrows by singing for them. Mr. Tanner falls into that trap. Be all that you can be. He tries to be more than he is. Evening came, took the stage, his face set in a smile, and in the half-filled hall the critics sat, watching from the aisle. The concert was a blur to him, spatters of applause. He did not know how well he sang, he only heard the flaws. But the critics were concise, and it only took 4 lines, and no one could accuse them of being overkind. What they wrote about a good friend, Mr. Tanner. They said, Mr. Martin Tanner, baritone of Dayton, Ohio, made his town hall debut last night. He came well prepared. Fortunately, his presentation was not up to contemporary professional standards. His voice lacked the range or tonal color necessary to make it consistently interesting. Old time consideration of another endeavor might be in order. Sound like what Dr. Durham wrote in my last paper I gave you. Mr. Tanner tried to steal. He tried to steal something that he didn't have, fame. He tried to steal something that God didn't want him to have. Fame is a very useful tool. He tried to be the big time. A reporter once asked me, or told me, that I could do 1,000,000 concerts, raise $1 billion, and still just be a whisper when you're talking about world hunger. The reporter was trying to steal from me my chance. The reporter was trying to steal from, the world is trying to steal from us our ability to do God's will. It's trying to say, don't do it. You'll never make a difference. Your efforts will be in vain. That's what the world's trying to say to us. And the world is definitely, just desperately trying to steal from us our opportunity to be heroes, to feed the hungry, to give rest to the weary, to clothe the naked, to be what God desires, requests, commands. Don't let the world steal that from you. Do it, be it, live it. Don't let anybody take it from you. When you do that, you will give justice You will steal injustice. You will give food. You will steal hunger. I told that reporter that a whisper speaks louder than silence. Your whisper may be 10,000 times louder than mine, or it may be a tenth as loud. It doesn't matter. Whisper. If that's all you can be, if that's all you can do, whisper. But do all you can do. And if you can yell, yell. You can sing, sing. You can give, give. But don't shove it off. Don't say, somebody else will do it. The Lord will provide. Amen. The Lord will, and He'll do it through you. When you decide. He came back to Dayton and was questioned by his friends. He smiled and he just said nothing, and he never sang again. Except very late at night, when the shop was dark and closed. He sang softly just to God as he sorted through the clothes. Father, we are the leaders and the future leaders of our churches. We are the ones who have heard your call. Please help us to realize that that means to feed the hungry, to love our fellow human beings, to give them all that we have to give. Forgive us when we push it aside. Forgive us when we hand it back to you. You've handed it to us, and we know with your help we can do it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us this glorious message and who lives in us and through us. Please help us be an exemplar, to be messengers. Please help us to whisper. Please help us to shout. Please help us to continue when the world keeps throwing us back down. Forgive us when we falter. And please, Lord, help us back up. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.